Hello, and thanks for joining Wicker Park Lutheran Church Sermons. Wicker Park Lutheran Church is a diverse ELCA Lutheran congregation in the Wicker Park neighborhood of Chicago. We gather at 10 a.m. to fully live into our incarnational faith as we experience God's presence in the gathered assembly, and we welcome you to join us. In just a moment, you'll first hear with a gospel reading from the associated sermon for the service that you're about to listen to. We hope that that gospel gives you some context before you jump right into the sermon. Thanks for checking us out, and we hope to see you soon.
The Holy Gospel according to Luke. Jesus said, "Do not be afraid, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give alms. Make purses for yourselves that do not wear out, an unfailing treasure in heaven, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Be ready for action and have your lamps lit. Be like those who are waiting for their master's return from the wedding banquet, so that they may open the door for him as soon as he comes and knocks. Blessed are those slaves who the master finds alert when he comes. Truly I tell you, he will fasten his belt and have them sit down and eat, and he will come and serve them. If he comes during the middle of the night or near dawn and finds them so, blessed are those slaves. But know this, if the owner of the house had been known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have let his house be broken into. You also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an unexpected hour." The Gospel of the Lord. Grace and peace to you, my sisters, brothers, and siblings in Christ, in love, in faith, and in the fight toward transformative, gospel-rooted, Holy Spirit-filled justice that impacts all of those victimized by oppression, marginalization, and violated because of the systems and the systemic racism that has invaded and impacted the ways in which we should, without question, follow Jesus Christ. Jesus, who calls to us to love one another as Creator and the Risen One loves us. Jesus, who models how to express our righteous rage to flip over tables, disrupt the toxicity of the empire that seeps into the hands of church leaders, staining everything that they touch, and to dismantle the cycles of hatred so that we become grace-giving, mercy-filled communities. Amen. Good morning, Wicker Park. I am thankful to be among you once more to share a word from the triune God, to commemorate in our common fears, worries, and yes, even anger, to gather at the table, to be fed and forgiven, and to then do the actual work that Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, left for us. That's what it means in that spiritual we just heard, to keep our lamps trimmed and burning, because there is still a fight before us. Jesus knew that things were about to get beyond messy, because we still cannot grasp that when Jesus calls for us to go and make disciples, he didn't mean grow our church membership so we could have country club activities and a shiny new organ. Jesus meant for us to take the excesses in our lives and bring it to the places that we gather and feed and care for those who have been shut out of abundance when sustainability is their right, simply because they too are beloved children of God. Jesus knew humanity's existence was about to be severely broken because we are too strung out on what the empire has been pushing into our very being. This idea that the only way to glory is by selling each other out, creating systems of inequality and divisiveness. We manipulate the word so that then the Creator is fashioned into our ideals, our standards, and that we are the only receivers of God's reward as the 1%. Jesus came because humanity is imperfect. No, instead, I think humanity, and in this context, Christians, that with access to power, with Christianity often seen as a religion of the state or claimed as the core of a nation, Christians take on the moniker of both favored and spoiled. And ironically, when you point out in these scriptures what the Creator expects of us continuing this flow of divine harmony, of mirroring what the prophets, teachers, and what Jesus spoke to the disciples, the reality that everything in this life does not belong to us, that we're called to be generous and welcoming, sometimes the world and even us experiences the ugly part of those who claim to be followers of Jesus Christ. They respond in defiance, throwing tantrums on a massive scale, using policies to deport people en masse while whitewashing various cultures as a form of amusement. There are unfortunately those who, when Jesus says, "Follow me," their response is that they like their status of power, that they are above and beyond anyone else, that they are safe. Delusional in thinking that these tangible things will keep them free from experiencing life, even with all its difficulties. So all the things that matter to them, then they hoard and they store up these treasures in the form of gated communities, deforestation of lands turned into status symbols and opulent houses, investing in stocks instead of people, robbing creation of life, even and especially our seed, so that they can feast and be filled. That is where their bloated hearts lie. This past week, I joined over 1,000 or so Lutherans as we gathered to do the work of the wider expression of the church, of the ELCA. And sometimes even that work makes a soul weary until the lamps that are souls are dying embers and barely unrecognizable. Yes, our church indeed speaks to the issues of white supremacy and racism that have been an issue inside of our walls by a declaration of apology to peoples of African descent, to my ancestors, and we, their descendants, that the ELCA has been complicit in its silence of not speaking clearly and boldly about these egregious sins, that the wider breadth of the church has ignored Jesus' one commandment, of loving one another, regardless of who we, our culture, or our language and history appear. Yes, the ELCA has declared itself a sanctuary denomination, fighting and working towards being that safe and sacred place for those of our siblings who are fleeing violence and persecution, even when that persecution is coming from the same country that claims that this is a place where the tired, poor masses can rest and be free. And yes, the ELCA has adopted a strategy toward authentic diversity in this church, so that those of us who are persons of many descents, who love beautifully and differently, are uplifted as leaders whose presence is valued and whose witness and testimony is sorely needed. But these social statements and declaration, this public display of unity in front of company who observing and watching and hoping that we collectively keep our word. These words that are on paper do not end the problems we tackle daily. As people of faith, that does not mean we shift to being careless, banking on this 5 minutes of good feel fame moment, that we hope that will turn into a PR campaign and suddenly, just because we put on this pristine mask, that people will flood into these church buildings and join us because we have made our words almost perfect and blameless. The mistake of the wider expression of the church as an institution is that they allow their lamps, their fire, their drive to go out simply because they feel they have done enough. We passed a resolution, which I was a part of, regarding the feast day of repentance, regarding the Emmanuel Nine. There are people in this church who think that when we create this liturgy, they will gather together in their places of worship on June 17th. They will lament and pray, and that will be it. But this church, the ELCA, refused to sign onto and endorse the Poor People's Campaign. Oh, they don't know. When I have been among you in my congregation and I do the words of institution, I tell you, now that you have been fed with the body and blood, live out your faith. Go do something. We cannot get weary when the wider church allows those lights to flicker and die. We cannot get weary when people are afraid to work because they have seen our lamps burning, because we are supposed to reverberate that hope that Jesus Christ gave us all when he gave us his life. And because he gave of himself so that we would be always eternally bonded to the Creator God, dear church, there is work to be done. Jesus prayed and taught and then did the work. So why is the church always against us doing the same? We gather and pray before we march, before we express our righteous rage, before we advocate for all and not this world's chosen few. We are to keep our lamps trimmed and burning, but not as slaves. We are not slaves. Slavery is mirrored in violence and degradation, a disrespect for life. As a pastor in this church, as your sister in Christ, this is not how God sees us. Therefore, we as humanity should never treat one another as less than, as only 3/5 of a human. When our own lamps are flickering and endangering of going out, that's when we as children of God should fill up one another's lamps so we don't have to walk this weary road and this journey alone. Thanks be to God.